Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa, as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
SiriusXM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I'll say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow now, is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host Eddie Trunk.
What's up, everybody? It's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to another edition of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New episodes every Thursday, wherever you get your podcast, interviews with the biggest names in rock and metal. Remember, follow me on social media at Eddie Trunk, Twitter or X, Facebook page or Instagram. EddieTrunk.com is the website. And as I tell you every week, every interview you hear on the podcast originated on my SiriusXM radio show. That show is Trunk Nation, heard Monday through Friday, live 3 to 5 Eastern on Faction Talk. Channel 103, or live or on demand anytime you want on the SiriusXM app. And don't forget, you can get a free trial to SiriusXM if you're not already a subscriber and you're in the U.S. or Canada. All you got to do is go to SiriusXM.com/EddieTrunk. 3 months free, no credit card required. Listen on your radios or listen anytime on the app and hear the full picture of what I do on a daily basis on the radio with 6 live shows a week on SiriusXM. Be sure to follow on social media, like I said, at Eddie Trunk for info and updates. This week on the podcast, Zakk Wylde dropped by my studio a couple weeks ago. Pantera was just about to play Madison Square Garden. We talk Pantera. We talk Black Label Society. Talk about Zakk's upcoming festival, the Berserkus. We talk about Zakk Sabbath. We talk about his line of gear. All sorts of great stuff with the always entertaining Zakk Wylde. That's coming your way first. And second this week, Jack Russell, original lead singer of Great White, checking in, talking about a new record that he made with Tracy Guns, among other things. But first, let's get right to it. Here's Zakk. So during the commercial break, while he was getting settled, I was talking to Zakk Wylde a little bit off the air, and I said to him,
hey,
what time
Ed.
I said, what time you got to be done? And he said, well, soon. And I said, yeah, I know you got a lot going on. And I said, or is it just because you're talking to me, you got to be done soon?
I don't think we can only talk about UFO for so long. So, you know, Kenny Loggins, you know, a lot of our other favorite artists. So, you know, it is what it is.
During the break, we covered Jakey Lee, John Sykes, Vito Bratta, Kenny Loggins. We covered everybody already. I don't know what the point of talking is.
Yes, everyone that kicks ass. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
How you doing, brother? You good?
Yes, we're out here on the Pantera Celebration Betty Crocker Taste Devastation Demolition Fest. Oh, yes. But no, we're having a blast out here, man. So we're rolling with the Grand Rapids, Michigan chapter Berserkers the other night. And it was quite the dance demolition fest the other night. So every night, we're having a blast out here celebrating the fellas.
You got Madison Square Garden tomorrow night in New York City, which is huge. How is this? I want to talk about your Berserkus and a few other stuff, but how, you know, the Pantera thing's been going a little while now for you. How has it changed for you since it's been going? Have you gotten Has the band gotten even more dialed in? Have you personally, from the guitar playing and the guitar parts, gotten to a point where you're kind of, you know, really feel that it's progressed for you? Or what are your thoughts on now that you've been doing it a bit?
It was just crushingly awesome hanging out with the fellas from the first Pantera boot camp sessions down in New Orleans. And now it's even more crushingly awesome hanging out with the fellas. So it's great. The whole camp, I mean, everybody involved is just all great people. So it's just, you know, we're just having a blast out here, man. I look forward to it every night.
Have you guys changed the setup at all, the set list up at all since you started? Has there been stuff in and out? And how does that work exactly if there is? Is that Phil calling it out, or are there songs you want to do that you're talking to them about? Has there been some variation in the set?
Well, I think, you know, obviously it's up to Philip and Rex. So, I mean, it's just, Charlie's awesome in regards to knowing Pantera history. You know, like him going, well, this song's been... is like really popular with, whether it's like how many streams it's been getting. Maybe we should throw this guy in a set. Charlie's awesome. I mean, you know, as far as like bringing that up to the fellas and myself. But obviously the call is going to be between Philip and Rex. So, I mean, we just added, you know, when we were home from the last break, it was just Philip and Rex were like, and, you know, obviously Charlie was like, man, we should add Floods to the set. And I was just like, you know, obviously for all the, you know, the guitar heads out there, it's just, I mean, that was like a really proud moment for St. Dime. Like, you know, when he wrote that one and just the guitar parts in it. And then obviously the outro, I mean, first night I played it, every night I play it, I get kind of like, I got to keep it together, you know, just playing that outro thing because it's just a huge... tribute to him. So, you know, but yeah, just the whole song in general. So, you know, it just but like you said, I like every night it's, you know, like certain moments in the show, there's not like a dry eye in the house. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I got to see at Rocklahoma last year, and the production, the whole stage on a huge stage like that, the video stuff, putting Dime and Vinny up there, it's pretty not only is the music heavy, but the moment is heavy as well. And when I look at the Pantera website, obviously, like I said, New York tomorrow, you got Baltimore coming up on the 24th. You've got a few more dates left in the U.S., and then you're going to Australia and other parts of the world. I mean, what's the and then you got more stuff with Metallica coming up as well when they start up again. So is that how this is going to be, Zach, as far as you know, schedule wise, that you guys are going to kind of come in and out and jump on some stuff and do some of your own stuff? Is that the plan going forward?
Yeah, totally. I mean, and like you said, at the end of the day, it's all up to the fellas, you know, between Philip and Rex, where they're just like, oh, let's just take a break for a while. Let's go back out again here. Or like, how about, you know, is everyone cool going out here or whatever? It's like, yeah. Let's just, let's do it. So, I love it. I mean, I'm just saying, like, every night we do it, it just for everybody that, and I mean, it truly is amazing because, I mean, in that, Philip, every night he'll say, how many people saw Pantera back in the day? And, you know, everyone's raising their hands. He said, how many people, this is the first time ever seeing Pantera? So, I mean, for me, and there's so many young kids that never got a chance to see the original Pantera. So, I mean, it's kind of like with me with Zeppelin. I never got a chance to see Zeppelin or, you know, the original Sabbath, you know, with Ozzy and everything like that. So, I mean, the whole thing is, it'd be like, you know, them coming back out and me obviously being old enough now that I could go to the show and see him because I didn't see him in their heyday. So and it's really amazing. I mean, how many young kids, probably so many kids that are in that audience that weren't even born when the band stopped touring. So, I mean, it's a beautiful testament to what the four of them created. And you know how timeless it is. I mean, and obviously they are the gold standard for what they created. You know, within the extreme metal community, it's just classic. And I just always tell everybody, you know, it's just like, well, what made Pantera, you know, different than all the other things. And just playing the songs every night and people singing them, it's just kind of like, well, what made Zeppelin and Sabbath? Is it just because it was heavy? Is it just, no, because it was good songs. And you can't, you know, so, I mean, like with Kiss, you could take away the makeup, you could take away the boots, you could take away the pyro, take away the Kiss sign, the whole nine yards, put them in a club and they just play their songs in a pub. It's good songs. Yep. At the end of the day, that's what it is with them in t-shirt and jeans. All the other stuff is wonderful, but it's the songs. And that's, you know, all the bands that we love. That's why it's timeless.
Hey, a couple more quick things on Pantera, and then I want to talk about your other stuff. Did you guys have, speaking of songs, has there been any discussion about making new music with this lineup? Would you be open to that?
No, I mean, I think you would have to call it something else.
Right.
You know what I mean? Pantera is those four guys. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, it's just, you can't replace that, you know what I mean?
Would you do it? Would you want to do it with this band under an altered name?
Yeah, I mean, if that was ever a bridge we crossed, we'd have to wait till we get there. But I mean, like right now, it's just the four of us celebrating what the fellas created.
Right, right. But you're open to it with these guys, providing it was maybe presented differently than just Pantera.
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, I mean, how could you call it Pantera unless it was just pre-existing material and we were going to record it, you know, stuff that never got, that was in demo state or whatever, and it is songs that the guys wrote, you know what I mean? So I mean, but as far as like, no, I think with new songs it would have to be, you'd call it something else, you know what I mean?
And the last thing on the Pantera side of things, you mentioned people coming and seeing the band for the first time. I remember, you know, the first time I ever saw Pantera play, it was at the Fastlane in Asbury Park. They were headlining. There was like 30 people there, and I was in there watching them. That was the first time I saw them play, and it was just before Cowboys blew up. It had just come out, but nobody knew who they were yet.
Wow,
when was the
awesome.
First time? When was the first time you saw them play, Zach?
Well, for me, it was the first time I saw them play was at Donington with Pride and Glory, you know, because it was Pantera, Extreme, then Aerosmith. That was the top three. So, yeah, but we went on the stage earlier in the afternoon, you know, kind of, you know, big festival thing, almost like an Ozfest, but, you know, that's the big,
yeah,
the big granddaddy of them all is the Donington Festival, Munsters of Rock. So, but yeah, it was just, no, I mean, just the power coming off the stage, it was just like this creation is just built for this setting. The sheer power and force coming off the stage, it was something just amazing, you know, like you couldn't help but just go wow, you know. It was awesome.
I walked out of the Fastlane like, what the hell did I was just like, it was a steamroller down there. It was unbelievable.
No,
that was before anybody knew they were.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, because you hear all these stories about what was the first time when, you know, people are like, oh, I saw Zeppelin play, you know, back in when they were just at the Fillmore or whatever, and how like magical it was. Or, you know, when I saw Guns N' Roses at the Felt Forum, you know, like you knew you were witnessing something special. So, you know, and it was at the Felt Forum. It was just before it exploded into this insanity fest. But, I mean, it was just, but you knew you were witnessing. It was like, wow, Ed, what do you think? You're like, Zach, this is definitely something special. Like, you knew you were witnessing something special. So, but, yeah, it was without a doubt, you know, like you could not say, you just knew you were witnessing something special.
Hey, so you've announced this event that you're doing with Black Label Society headlining called Berserkus, and it's at Poconos Park in Pennsylvania on September 14th, and you put together a really cool lineup for this thing, man. I really, when it was announced, I was talking about it on the air. I thought it was so cool because you've got Cody Jinks on there, who's more of like a country act, right? More of a outlaw country. Do I have that right?
Yes, completely out of control country outlaw. Got to throw
is
out
that
of control
what
in there. Yes, without a doubt. Everybody on the thing is out of control.
And then you got Clutch, who so many people love, and Neil Fallon and the boys
buddies with those guys for years now. So
it's basically
just an excuse for me to have a get-together with a bunch of my friends and just for no apparent reason whatsoever. So that's about it. And, you know, people were asking me, like, Zach, how many years have you been having this idea? I go, since I first started playing with Ozzy back in 87, 88. So it just like, it was just a matter of me saving up a bunch of, you know, mowing enough lawns so I could save up my allowance money so I could pay all the fellas.
Right.
And the gals as well, because the Iron Maidens are on this thing too. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, yeah, I was like, Ed, I want to have everybody play. And they go, Zach, you know, you have to pay them. Yeah, they are your friends. This is very true. But you got to pay them, bro.
Okay. Friendship only goes so far.
Yeah, we'll just figure that out. I'll mow a couple more lawns and then we'll see what I can get out of my piggy bank and then we'll pay everybody.
And I got to mention a band, maybe one of my favorite bands the last 20 years, Rival Sons. Jay was just at my party and
sang. Awesome.
By the way, Jay Buchanan got up at my event in December and sang Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath with Geezer playing bass. I got to send you the video. Zach, it was insane.
Oh, I'm sure it was Jay crushing as crushing insane. Could be.
Yep. And then Corey Taylor came out and did The Wizard did The Wizard with Geez. It was so, so great. But
awesome.
Rival Sons on your event as well. Blackstone Cherry, another killer band. And then, as you mentioned, you got the Iron Maidens and you put some tribute acts on there, which I thought was really cool.
Yes. And Zach Sabbath's going to be on the bill now as well. So,
All right. Yes. You're going to do double duty then.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's, how do you think I'm paying for all this? All right. we're going to do the Zach Sabbath thing as well. So, we weren't going to do it because we didn't think we could. Father Joe was going to be doing either the Bronx or, you know, Circle Jerks. Joe's in like 42 other bands as well, you know, because he is the Genghis Khan of Zach Sabbath. Joe has 643 children within the last 4 years. Him and his wife are a medical miracle. But so the whole thing is Joe has a lot of mouths to feed. So Father Joe is he's got to play with the guys. So we're going to have Jeffy fill in for this one. So, you know, so we have up until September. He'll be going over to Goose's house to go over the tunes and everything like that. And then, we're going to be doing Black Label and Zach Sabbath. So it'll be looking forward to it.
Didn't Blasco just go back to Zombie too, right?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we're all working because we have to pay everybody.
And you got Atomic Punks on there, great Van Halen tribute. I think you got a Zeppelin tribute on there as well, right?
Yeah, the Zoso fellas are buddies of mine. I've had two birthday parties that I've had them play at. One of my 50th birthday party, we had them jam at Mate's Rehearsal, and I just, my buddies, you know, Barb threw a surprise birthday party for me, and it was our buddies in Zoso played, so, because they know how much we all love Zeppelin, but who doesn't? But the whole thing is they played there, and then they were playing another club, and I had Nuno came down, Steve Vai came down, you know, Father Steve, Father Nuno, we were all hanging out, and I had another Zoso birthday party. So, you know, Lowe's was down there, Neil's Lowe's down there. And he was just like, wow, this is like, because, you know, obviously him photographing Zeppelin back in 73 and, you know, everything. I think actually even before that, he may have been photographing him. But the whole thing is, yeah, as Lowe's was down there, he was like, wow, this is like phenomenal. But I've known the Zoso guys for a while now, and they're truly amazing.
And what are you going to try to do this in more places, or is right now just this one in Pennsylvania?
Well, just this one right now. So this will be the first one. We'll get this under our belt and then take it from there. Because, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things going on. We got, obviously, between the food trucks, we're turning it into a swap meet, going to turn it into powerlifting, the slap contests. We're also going to have the street beefs. We're going to have everything going on. Fighting, it's going to be phenomenal. Marriage counseling. Because if you're going to have the street beefs, you might as well have married couples having a street beef right there. Just get it over with.
Why did you land on Pennsylvania? Nothing against Pennsylvania, but why the Poconos to do this first one? How did that happen?
No, Poconos is for lovers. That's the end of that question.
And this sounds like a very romantic evening.
Exactly.
I can see the heart-shaped hot tubs bubbling.
Yeah, exactly. You can just, drink, to your heart's content and just throw up all over whoever it is that you're in the room with. And you're in a tub, so it's only throw up. I mean, whatever. It's going to be in the tub anyways, so just flush it down the tub and throw
all
up
right,
again.
So- September 14th, Poconos Park, Berserkus. You just heard about it. Black Label Society, now Zach Sabbath on there. Cody Jinx, Clutch, Rival Sons, Blackstone Cherry, the tribute acts we just mentioned, and even a slapping contest? Slapping
Everything's
people
gonna
in
be
the
added.
Face?
Powerlifting, arm wrestling, everything. Everything that's included in a good marriage.
Hey, are you in touch with Ozzy, and how's he doing? I know he still wants to do this final show that if he can get it together. Do you have any update on that? Are you in touch with him?
Yeah, I still text Ozzy all the time. I just send him, whatever goofy stuff comes up. He sends me goofy stuff all the time as well. But no, he's still doing his therapy and everything like that, I mean, he knows that, I always got his back. So whenever Oz wants to do it, and I just always laugh at him because he's always just like, oh, I got to do it. I just, Oz, I think he's just
the
like, don't worry
secure.
About it. Yeah, don't worry about it. Like when you announce the gig, when you're ready, I think people show up. Don't worry about it, boy.
Right, exactly. Yeah, got nothing to prove.
Yeah, don't worry about it, boss.
Hey, what's going on with your gear? You rolling out a lot of new stuff or what?
Yeah, just working on some new guitars. I got the Berserker coming out. We got the Gorgon, the Berserker. There's a couple other ones we got coming out right now. But, still having a blast with that. And then it's the best. I mean, I wouldn't change my situation for anything. So, with the Dunlop, we got all the new pedals coming out. And then, I guess, obviously, the Rotovide, the new Wah is going to be coming out. Obviously, got the Chorus, the Flange, the Phase, and then also... the distortion. It's all just having a blast with it, man.
And last thing, have you worked on any new Black Label Society music? You got a new record you're working on or timetable for that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously when we get done with this one, we'll have 2 weeks off probably before we roll to be with the Australian chapter. And then, I'm probably going to track some more stuff when I get home. So, I'll just go into Black Vatican, start recording some new stuff. The funny thing is, with this album, by the time it gets done, and I mean, I think with all bands, now when the album gets done, you have to wait like 6 months, because in order for them to press vinyl and everything like that. So, which is kind of, it's just a weird thing because the whole thing is, within a year and a half, or whatever it is when the album gets released, it's just an old album. I mean, to you, because you recorded it and you wrote it and whatever. But at the end of the day, if the album came out slamming, it's going to sound new to everybody anyways. You know what I mean? Regardless, whether it was Back in Black got released in 1980, if it got released in 1983, it's still Back in Black. You know what I mean? Right. Or any of the albums that we all love from all our favorite bands and everything like that. So, whether it was Blizzard of Oz or Diary were released 2 years after they were recorded, it would still be slamming. So, because it's going to be new to us. So, if you ask all bands, it's kind of like weird. It's just like, wow, this stuff sounds, I heard the new stuff. They're like, Zach, that thing's not new. We recorded that thing like 2 years ago. It's like, wow. Oh, I wouldn't have known. You know what I mean? Because to me, it's new.
Hey, last thing I'll let you leave on this, I promise. What do you think about Slayer coming back today? What do you think about those guys doing it again?
Not good for them. I mean, it's just like if the fellas want to go out and jam again, last time I saw the fellas, they were doing, this was on the Farewell. This might have been like probably one of the last shows, I think, and Skynyrd was going on after. So I was just like, wow. I'm truly fortunate to have seen this one, Slayer and Skynyrd on the same bill. So it was just, But no, it was, but they, the guys all played, they all crushed it. So, I mean, like, it's not like, wow, maybe they should retire, you know, because it sounded tired and they sounded terrible. It sounded as crushing as they always have. So and the crowd was going crazy. The production was great. It was a great show. And it was like, wow, that's why you would have left there going, why are they retiring? Because they still sound great. They still play great. It was just like, wow. All right. But I mean, so for the guys coming back, I'm sure Slayer Nation's excited. So it's all good for everybody.
Listen, man, I hear your phone dinging. I know you got a lot going on. I'll let you go. Everybody check out the Berserkus in Poconos Park, September 14th. Also, Zach on tour right now with Pantera and Zach Sabbath stuff. Zach Sabbath added to Berserkus. So a lot of good stuff going on. Thank you, buddy. Be safe. Safe travels. Say hi to the guys and best to the family as well.
Oh, right back at you, Father Ed. Always great talking to you. And we'll continue on with some more Kenny Loggins UFO trivia next time I see you, buddy.
Sounds like a deal. Right. I'll see you, man.
All right. Take care, Father Ed.
Bye-bye. Well, I've had a lot of good times with that guy over the years, known him for a very long time. That is Zach Wild, and appreciate him coming by the show about 2 weeks ago, actually, that was.
Saving money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This interview goes back more about 2 months ago. Jack Russell, the original lead singer of Great White, called in to talk about a record that he had done with Tracy Guns that's now out. But we, of course, got into some conversation about other things as well. Here's how that chat went. Jack, how you doing, buddy?
Really good. Really good. Fantastic, actually. Just sitting here at home and watching the snow come down.
Where do you live now? You're not in California anymore?
No, I'm in Denver, man. I moved up to the snowy mountains of Denver.
How long ago did you do that?
About 3 years ago.
Wow. I always envision you living on that boat. You lived on a boat forever, man.
It got to be a real, real, real dragged out, expensive thing. And, you know, it was just too much to handle. You know, it just got to be too much to handle. I needed more space, man. You know, because you keep acquiring stuff as you get older. And on a boat, you can't acquire space, you know.
How many years did you live on a boat?
Oh, God, this last one we lived on for 12 years. My other one, I would have to say 4 or 5. That was, I had a house at that time, and I would stay on the boat, and then when I come in from touring, I'd take the boat out and go fishing, my friends. It was funny, my poor wife, I'd come home, and I'm going fishing for the weekend. She'd go, but you just got home. So I wonder why that marriage didn't work out.
So wait a minute. So for 12 years you only had the boat, right? You didn't have the boat and the house. You lived on a boat.
Just 12 years just on the boat. It was a big boat. It was a good sized boat. So
What are the challenges of that though, Jack? I mean, are there things you miss being on the boat, or were you happy in all that time only on a boat?
No, I loved it. I loved it. There wasn't really anything that I didn't like about it, really. I mean, the thing I didn't like about it was It was what my lady didn't like about it. She was cramped, you know, and it's hard for a woman to live in a cabin, kind of, you know. It's really difficult for her. So, you know, I thought about stuff, and I said, oh, let's go back to her house, because she had left her home and her son and her family, and, you know, just to come with me. Because I thought I couldn't let him anywhere but L.A., you know. And I thought about it, and I was like, you're wrong. You can live anywhere, man, as long as there's an airport, you know. So when all this stuff hubbub with Great White went down, you know, I just thought, hey, I don't need to stay here.
Right. Yeah, you said, last thing on this, because I think it's interesting. You said it was expensive to live on the boat. Now, if you own the boat, where's all the cost come in? Because you have to pay to have it docked the whole time, I would think. But is it more expensive living that way than it would be in a house?
No, not really. I mean, if you're by yourself and one another person, it's a really inexpensive way to live. I mean, you could buy a boat probably. You say you want to go buy a sailboat, you just want to live on it, right? If you're a college student or something, you want a cheap way to live. We go down the harbor, you find boats for sale, and you can find a lot of good deals on sailboats. And maybe they may not be running, they may be running, you know, but if you just need a place to crash and do your thing, you have your electricity going, you know, you have a TV, whatever, and you got your place to crash. And, you know, it's a pretty good deal. I mean, it's like renting a house on the water, you know. But I mean, we had everything. We had, you know, satellite disc. I mean, not the disc. We went on, what was it called? I can't remember what it was called, but it was
DirecTV or something.
What was that? What was that thing we were on, honey? The disc that we were on, the satellite.
Probably DirecTV or Dish.
Yeah.
So
satellite TV.
Right,
there's
right.
A bunch of different names and different things. But, you know, it was great, man. It was great. I don't regret a name. You know, I regret the years I spent down there getting old, you know. But I fished a lot. I had a great time. I mean, we had a lot of great fishing trips, a lot of great trips out in the water, you know, taking the guys out. Chasing dolphin and, you know, fishing for sharks, and, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
How are you feeling, man? I just mentioned we got to see each other in Cancun a couple months ago at that event, the Sands. You turned in a great set there. You sounded great. You had Dee Snider come up with you for a few songs during that, which was really cool as well. How you feeling? How's your health? Because when I saw you in Cancun, you were telling me about, I think you told me you actually shrunk an inch or two, and they had done some work on your neck and stuff. But how are you holding up?
I'm doing good, man. I'm just recovering, you know. It's all good. It's just going to be a process, you know. When you've lost that much height, I mean, you know, I got to imagine it's going to take a toll on your body. I guess it's like kind of being hit with a railroad spike hammer. You know, I don't know. I don't feel bad at all. I really feel good, you know. It's just that with scoliosis and general disc disease, it shrinks you. So what are you going to do? You shrink along with it.
You had told me, though, that you were really nervous because when they initially did this procedure on you, I think you said it was on the back of your neck or your spine or something, that it actually impacted your voice, right?
Yeah, it did. It did. I don't know why it did. They put these rods up next to your larynx, I believe it was, or your voice box. And when I woke up, I was like, my voice was gone. And it took, you know, several months for it to come back, you know. So it's better now. I'm feeling good about my life. I'm like, thank God you didn't take that away, you know. That would have been like worse than losing the best Ole ever.
Well, I've said this about you many times, even going back to when you did that Hair Nation tour that I hosted when you guys went out, we all went out for that. No matter what, it's really remarkable because it seems like no matter what you've endured physically, mentally, sobriety-wise, whatever, the voice is something that is always there. And having just saw you sing, you know, I just saw you in Cancun. I mean, again, vocally, it's all still there. It's amazing, man. I mean, what do you attribute that to? Do you have to work at that, or is that just a natural thing that hasn't left you?
No, I mean, I work at it. I always do. I've always, you know, taken care of my voice, and I warm up and do scales and stuff like that regularly. You know, I have a regimen that I do. But mostly I think it's a God-given gift. I really do. Because, you know, by all, you know, and for all intents and purposes, I shouldn't even have this. My voice shouldn't even be there at all. You know, I smoked a million cigarettes, done tons of cocaine, you know, just did everything I shouldn't have been doing to take care of your voice, drinking whiskey, and, you know, it's just horrible, horrible stuff. You know, everything I could possibly do wrong, I did. And, you know, my vocal coach and my doctor was going, you keep that up, you're going to be sorry. You know, and I'm okay.
But you've cut a lot of that, the things that were not good for you out.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. No, I stopped all that stuff a long time ago. When they told me I had COPD, I went, okay, no more cigarettes. And, you know, when I couldn't do the cigarette thing anymore. And what else did I quit? Quit drinking, of course. Quit doing coke years ago. I mean, that's like the... I didn't find something I should do then and say, man, go back to the old days. Talk about archaic. It's, I don't know, man. All this stuff to me seems so foreign now, you know, in this life I'm in. I don't look back on that with any fond memories or anything. It's just a really bad place for my head to go.
What was the hardest thing to kick of, you know, whether coke or booze or cigarettes? What was the hardest?
Cigarettes are the hardest.
I've heard that. I mean, I never smoked and I've never done coke either, but I've never smoked, but I've heard from many people that cigarettes are the hardest thing to quit.
Absolutely. The nicotine gets you, man. It gets you by the neck. You are really strung out on that stuff. I mean, for me, it was hands down. That was the hardest thing to quit. You know, and I've tried everything. I've done everything. I've invented some stuff. You know what I mean? But it's just, I got to say that cigarettes are the worst thing you could possibly get into. If you see your kids smoking cigarettes, they're on their way to drugs. I'm going to tell you that right now. So keep an eye on them.
So I know you've done a record with Tracy Guns here that came out on Friday. Tell me about this. Tell me about the idea to do this, and it's your first new music that you've done in a long time. Tell me about your history with Tracy and how the idea to do a record with him came about.
Well, that came down from Frontiers. It came up the idea, and I've always loved Tracy's guitar playing, and they hit me with it, and I said, yeah, the guy's a brilliant player, and I was all up for the idea, and I guess he was too. So, you know, we got together and made this album, and it was a lot of fun. He's a great guitar. He's a nice guy too, you know. We did a lot of tours.
Yeah, no doubt.
Years, and we played a lot of shows at the moment. Scott, or sure, with the Bret Michaels tour and that Poison tour in '99. I can think of so much more if I could think right now.
Well, the record is out. It came out on Friday. It's called Medusa. And were you able to actually work in the same room with him? How did the songs come together? Did you all just do this remotely and it kind of got pieced together?
No, unfortunately, we did it remotely. I don't know where he was, and I'm not telling where I was. No, but we did it remotely, and it was really, really interesting the way it was done. I really enjoy it. And it's kind of cool because my band was talking about doing our next record like that. And I was like, I don't know, man, if you'll have the realism, you'll have the feel, you know, you won't have that sense of all being in one room. Well, I was totally wrong. You totally feel like you're in the same room because you're on headphones It just sounds like, you know, sounds like the guy's right next door, you know, like in a different room, you know, like, okay, you're in the drum booth and you're in the guitar booth. You come out looking for the guy to talk to him, but it's a great, great, great work we record. I'm going to do our album next, just like that, which we're planning on going to the studio too in about, a few months, finish ours up. We're about halfway done with it. So probably I can finish it up in about, you know.
I was going to ask you about that because, you've made this record with Tracy, but is there plans to do another Jack Russell's Great White record? It sounds like you're about halfway done, huh?
Yeah. We've been working on it for quite a while and we're just taking nothing but the best. Cause I mean, the last record, I love that last album. Can't Get Over Me, you saw it coming. I think that was one of the great albums of my career. And I really want to best that one. So we've been working really, really hard. And, you know, you never know if you improve on an album or not. You know, I mean, you like to think you do. But, you know, all told, you never know. The fans will tell you. But you just never know.
Do you have the Great White Cat, outside of the last record you made, which you just said how much you liked it, of the classic records, the earlier stuff, do you have a favorite record in the catalog from Great White?
Are we talking old stuff or are we talking new stuff?
Like 80s era.
80s stuff. Okay. 80s stuff. Yeah. It would have to be, Flesh Shy, 90s era would be Psycho City, mm-hmm. and 2000s would be obviously
Saw It Coming, probably, right? Yeah. No, that was a strong record. And for this record you did with Tracy, did you write on it or did you just come in and sing on it?
No. They wrote the songs. You know, we gave them our input, you know what I mean? But it was just strange, I mean, to play somebody else's tunes. But it was really cool, though, you know, because I liked the stuff they did. We just changed a few things here and there. And it was funny because I had to take the melodies and change the lyrics. Because the lyrics, I'm like, there ain't no lyrics to say that in English. You know what I mean? That's not how you do it. You know, so I had to change things around. Go, now this is how you'd say that. You still want me to say that? Doesn't sound so good, does it? So, you know.
Oh, because obviously what you're alluding to is the fact that the label that put this record together, Frontiers, is based in Italy. So what you were getting was Italian sort of dialect, right?
Yeah. Hey, you're telling me.
Well, I tell you what, it's a good sounding record. I really checked out. It's a little something different for you. I've always loved Tracy's playing, so I think it's really cool. It's out now. It's called Medusa under the name of Russell Guns. And a couple other quick things I want to hit you with, Jack, and then I'll let you go. I know that you have an autobiography coming. I know that your book is being worked on right now. What's the plan as far as how far along that is, and when do you hope to have that out?
I think it'll be out in around 3 months.
Oh, okay. This year, then.
This year. That's the author and I's, co-author and I's vision for the book.
All right,
it's
cool.
It's really wonderfully
written.
It's wonderfully written. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better co-writer. This lady is just an amazing writer. She's an amazing writer.
Well, do you want to say who she is, or is that a surprise?
I don't know. I'm just going to lay on that one for now.
All right. Fair enough. And all right. So we look forward to the book that'll be coming out. And, you know, we should mention to people, and I don't know, I think this flew under the radar a little bit, but there was a documentary done. I think it was called The Guest List, which you cooperated in a few years ago, about the tragedy of the station fire. What were your thoughts about that document? What's that?
It was just on a couple of nights ago or last night or something.
Oh, was it? I'm not sure. I don't know where people can see it now, but I know that it, I remember I came to that premiere and participated in it a little bit at the time that it was done. But what were your thoughts on that and how it came out?
My thoughts on it, it was pretty cool. I mean, you know, it gave everybody a chance to say, hey, this is how I feel, you know, how do you feel? And I think it told the story as best you could tell it from all sides, you know. I don't agree with all of it, but, you know, I do agree with most of it.
So you were glad that you participated in it and you're glad that it was made?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it was important that it was made. It was a piece of history that, you know, should not be forgotten. I mean, it was a real moment
tragic.
In rock and roll history. You know?
Yeah, tragic beyond belief. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jack, the last thing is, you know, you talk about all the stuff you've endured and your health struggles and everything that you're dealing with and all of that. Again, your voice is still there. You talk about you made this record with Tracy Guns. You're going to make a record with your band again. Is there any side to you? Are you still in touch with Mark Kendall in any way? And is there any side to you that before you wrap up your career that you'd like to do anything with him again? And even a song or a show with Great White again? I know there was that story a few years ago where he actually went to see Great White with a different singer, the current or one of the versions of the band at the time. But do you hold out any hope that you can reconcile and put a button on the band that you started with him in some way?
Yeah, of course there's always that thought, you know, just because I look back and some of the best times in my life were when me and Mark were hanging out when we were young kids, you know, and started the band and, you know, we're just playing around and we're making little tapes, like we're doing interviews. Okay, Mr. Kendall, how did you like this show? Oh, we killed them. And, you know, we were just playing, you know what I mean? And it was a great time. Cause we always knew we were going to pull it off. I don't know how to tell you why, but we always knew we were going to. And we just kept going and going and going. So all of a sudden we were there, you know, and it's just, we had so many great times. You know, I would love to at least shake his hand before I kick off, you know.
But you don't have any dialogue with him or any relationship with him? When was the last time you spoke to him?
I haven't spoken to him in years. I haven't seen him in years. Last time I saw or spoke to him was at the court thing that saw the name and logo. We settled up the logo and the name thing at the court in LA, and he was there, and you know, we everybody agreed on what was going to be, and Michael was on the phone, I think, like this, and Audie was on the phone, I think, and Mark was there. We shook hands, and that was it.
Yeah, that was over the naming where they use Great White and you're Jack Russell's Great White. So that was the last dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah. But I hope that's not to be, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be
such an official way, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, I mean, yeah, there's we're all getting older and yeah, I mean, it'd be wonderful if you could, that could be mended in some way or at least kind of be cool again, you know, and we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens. You've got some touring, coming up. We should tell people your next dates. You're in Nevada, Jackpot, Nevada, February 2nd and 3rd. And then you've got a date in Vegas, which I think I'll be in Vegas at that time. So maybe I'll come see you February 16th at the Golden Nugget. So you can find out about the dates and everywhere that Jack Russell's Great White is going to be by going to jackrussellsgreatwhiteband.com. And again, the album that Jack just did was released on Friday with Tracy Guns, simply called Russell Guns Medusa. It's out now. Hey, man, it's always great to talk to you. I look forward to reading the book, and we'll do something once that comes out, I'm sure. And I don't know, once the book comes out, maybe that will help or hurt potentially reconciling with Kendall. Anybody read it?
Right.
You don't know.
You don't know. You never know. I can't remember how truthful I was. And this book was been quite a while that we were writing it. So with my memory, you never know.
Yeah, you never do know. Well, listen, man, enjoy the snow there in Denver. Good talking to you for a bit, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you out there soon, and I'll try to come catch you in Vegas on that date.
That sounds great. I would love to see you. Always good to see you.
You too, Jack. Take care, man.
All right, buddy. You too.
Bye-bye. Well, thank you to Jack Russell. Appreciate him joining me here on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Thanks earlier to Zach Wilde as well. To hear all my interviews, all my radio shows, just go to the SiriusXM app, punch in Trunk Nation, punch in my name. Everything will load up. If you're not a SiriusXM subscriber, take advantage of that free offer. Try it out. SiriusXM.com/EddieTrunk. 3 months free, no credit card required. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Much appreciated. And I'll see you next week for another episode, and hopefully every day on the radio on Faction Talk 103 or the SiriusXM app.